circles, and I'd like to look at, I want you to look for some S's in our chapter this evening. I'm going to speak on a sentence, asleep. I'm going to speak about some soldiers. I'm going to speak about some shackles, about a great salvation, about a surprising awakening, and about a joyous surety. So you see if you can pick up on some of those S's as we read down chapter 12. And Peter, verse 1. Now about the time Herod, the king, stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he sought, pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in the prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping, bound between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And the chains fell off from his hands, and the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me." And he went out, and he followed him, and wist not that it was true that was done by the angels, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through the street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod." Now I'd like to use Peter's experience as an illustration in the gospel tonight. I believe it's full. It's a very full picture in relation to the gospel message. The first thing I'd like to look at, as I've already said to you tonight, is the sentence. Here, Peter, Herod, the king of that time, he was an evil man. And he sought, it says, to vex certain of the church. So he killed James. James was a man of God, one of the church. And he killed James. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, it says, he proceeded further to take Peter also. So what was Peter's sentence? There's an S. Sentence. His sentence was that of death. Peter was taken. And he was going to have his head taken off. He was going to be killed. But you know, something miraculous happened. And you know, this sentence of death is like the sentence of the sinner in the prison house of sin. That's what we like to look at tonight, is the prison house of sin. We have here a man who's bound up. He's sentenced to death. And you know, men and women and boys and girls tonight, the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. You'll find that in the book of Romans, in chapter 3. The wages of sin is death. All men are going to die. All men, it says, the scripture says, it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. I'd like just for a minute to compare Peter and his predicament as, if you will, a sinner in the prison house of sin, and compare him to a Christian. Compare him to the life in Christ. You know, there is no comparison. But as you speak to men and women and boys and girls today about the gospel, about the riches that there can be found in the Lord Jesus Christ, they do not seem to be very interested. But you know, if you could find a Christian that would turn around and take his place as an ungodly sinner again, turn away from God's salvation, I would be absolutely amazed and surprised. I believe that on the face of this planet, you would not find one believer, one person that has put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, turn from that back to the prison house of sin. And as we go down, we're about to see some of the things that happened in the prison house. Peter there, he's taken and he's down with those guards. And one of the things that we find is this. Peter was sleeping. You know, the devil, he's working hard. He's working hard. And you know, one of the things that speaks to us about this predicament that Peter's in is the sleep of the prison house. And that's exactly what the God of this world would desire you to do tonight. Whether you be an old man, a young woman, a young man, or a young boy or girl in this meeting this evening, the devil would have you to be unaware of the eternal realities that are before every man. They're before every man. The eternal reality is this, that there is a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. There is a place that you need to strive to get into, and there is also a place that you need to run away from, and to be warned of, and to flee from. And that is done this way this evening. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. We were talking to the boys in the Sunday school class, and one of the boys asked me, what does that word abideth mean? And so I drew a picture of a cloud over top of a human being, one of those big black clouds full of water vapor. And the darkness of that cloud shows that it's absolutely saturated and it's ready to burst forth at any time. That's exactly the way it is with an unsaved person. The wrath of God hovereth above like a laden cloud, ready to burst forth at any time. You know, friend, that's a terrible predicament to be in. And the devil would have a person sleep in that condition, there in the prison house of sin, unaware of eternal realities. One of the things that the devil likes to use is darkness. He never likes to have things revealed. He never likes to use light. He always likes to turn the lights down low and put things in hiding and put men to sleep. I'd like to look tonight for a few minutes at these soldiers. Soldiers of the prison house, or keepers of the prison house. I was thinking of it this way tonight, that in the prison house of sin, there is the world and there is the flesh. You know, there's things in this world, like entertainment, that the devil would use tonight to seek to draw the interests of men and women and boys and girls. The world is full of things to draw the interest and the attention and to take up the time of men and women, boys and girls. And you know, you need to beware tonight that the devil is working hard and he seeks to damn the hearts of men and women and boys and girls in that terrible place called hell. And we want you to be warned that in the world there are things that can take your time, that can draw you away from the purpose that God has for you and for your life. There is the flesh. There are the things that are within us that desire to do the forbidden things. There is that in us that lusts. That's what that word lust means. That we have a desire from within our hearts to go after the forbidden things of life. That is why tonight that you see, and I saw a number of them today, down the city streets of Vancouver, police cars. Why do we have to have the law? Why do we have to have police cars? It's because men's hearts are continually evil. They're always going after the forbidden. If you tell men that the speed limit is 50 kilometers, they have to set up the radar traps to get men to abide by the law. And other more evil sins. If you tell men you shouldn't murder, you shouldn't kill, they do it anyway. The law just is a spotlight to show men that here is a standard, but men's heart cannot attain the standard that God sets up. That's the law. It shows men. It brings men to the awareness of their sin. I was listening to a few men tell recently, and now I'd like to look at the shackles of the prison house of sin. There were these two men, these two soldiers, And there Peter was in the midst of these two men. And he had a chain on each of his hands, it would seem to me. And he was chained on one side to one soldier and chained on another side to another. And you know, I looked at tonight the soldiers as being the world in the flesh. And there's a shackle on each side. Habits, pride, and religion, I wrote down. Shackles of the prison house. Attached to the keepers of the prison house. There are things that are attached to this world. Habits that control men rather than men controlling them. I watched a 46-year-old man get up in front of a group of people and tell how that he had been absolutely torn and tattered and brought to the very lowest point in his life. Why? Because of the cocaine habit that was in his life. It's funny that the devil's tools, the devil's tantalizing things, they don't draw families together. Here's a 46-year-old father of five children, and he's down in the soup line because of the filthy habits that the devil would seek to draw men and women away from. But you know, when men come into contact with God, when the Spirit of God works in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls, things change. And that one devastating habit that that man had, ruling him, the shackles of the prison house of sin were ruling him. When God came into contact with that man, the family was drawn back together. The man received new life in Christ. He received God's salvation. And that family that was once torn apart by sin and the slaving to it was drawn together. And now they're a family of seven. And that's the power that there is in God's salvation. So remember the sleep, the sentence, the sleep, the soldiers, the shackles of the prison house. But I like to read you a verse that the Lord Jesus quoted in Luke chapter 14, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he said, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. I'd like to look at tonight a great salvation. And what was behind this great salvation? It says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing. You know, I just came up from a prayer meeting. You know, that's a great place to be. You know, you would go down there and you would see men upon their knees, and they were praying for individuals, maybe even in this meeting tonight. And I know that in this meeting, because I've come here, and I've preached here many times, and I've heard the same names mentioned, and I want to tell you, prayer brings results. There are people in this meeting tonight that I've heard prayed for, that by and by the Spirit of God works in their hearts, and they get saved. They're sitting here tonight because prayer was made, and because Jesus died for the ungodly sinner. In Peter's experience, there was prayer made without ceasing, and there was prayer tonight, and there was prayer in my life. As nights I would come home after the gospel meeting like this, and I would be shaken and upset and thinking the Lord was coming, and I would go into Mom and Dad's room, and that's what I would find. Prayer made without ceasing to God on my behalf. Tonight, there was prayer made on your behalf. And I believe God is working in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. Because God works. And this is God's gospel. And God desires that all men be saved. So tonight, we want you to understand that prayer makes a difference. And there is prayer in relation to this great salvation. I would like you to watch carefully tonight with me as the time changes Peter was sleeping, it says, between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and light shined in the prison. Here's a surprising awakening. Peter's sleeping. Sleeping with a sentence of death over his head. Sleeping away, bound with two chains. Here comes a messenger. Where's the source of this messenger? This messenger comes from heaven. Comes from the right hand of God. Into that prison. Into that darkened place where Peter is in that devastating situation with a sentence of death. The messenger comes directed to Peter. See what happens. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him and light shined in the prison. You know, that's good. I like that. Here's Peter. He's all down there and he's in the dark. The devil's got the lights out. The first thing that the messenger of God does is he shines light on the situation. And Peter, being waked up, he can see exactly the condition he's in. Look, I've got these chains on. I felt them before, but now I can see them. And I can see I got a soldier here and I got a soldier here, and I'm in a hopeless situation. That's the way it works when the Spirit of God comes into the heart of a man that is a poor, lost, guilty sinner. The Word of God comes in, and it sheds light on their own condition. And they realize, like I realize, that a boy is 16 years old, there's no way I can get myself to heaven. My condition was exposed. My sinnership before God was exposed. I realized I was lost and guilty. I realized that if I died that night, I would be where God says unbelievers would be, in the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever. Light shined in that prison. Peter could see his condition. Can you see your condition tonight? Has the Word of God convicted you of the fact that you are a sinner? That your sin is taking you to a lost eternity? Light shined in the prison that night. Peter was woken up. And that's a good thing. Peter was smoked on the side and he was woken up. But you know, there's something else that happened. That messenger brought something from God. He brought a word from God. What did he say? He said, arise up quickly. What did Peter do? He must have risen up. And his chains fell off. It says, he smote him on the side. He raised up quickly, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell from his hands. You know, that's good. Here's Peter in this terrible condition. The messenger comes. He reveals his condition to them. And the word comes. What's the word? It's a simple word. Peter, arise up. He spoke directly to Peter, didn't speak to the soldier on either side. The word was directed to Peter. Arise up quickly. And I like to think of it this way tonight, that as Peter rose up, as Peter obeyed the word of the messenger, as Peter obeyed God's word, what happened? His chains fell off. He was delivered from his chains. Let's go on. Let's find out what else happened. And the angel said, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. So he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went on and he followed him. And he wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Well, we wouldn't want you to see a vision tonight. And when they were past the first and the second word, they came to the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out. Peter was outside that prison house. He'd been set free. Chains falling off. Doors were open that he could never open himself. He was out in the street. Verse 11, please. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod. You know, that's good. That's just the way it is when someone gets saved. When someone gets saved, they've got a word from God. The word I got from God the night I was saved, and by His stripes, we are healed. But you know what I thought that night? I thought this. Well, if God says that with the stripes of the Lord Jesus, we are healed, then that we must include me. That's what I thought. For the first time in my life, a guilty sinner, bound by Satan's captive's chains in the prison house of sin, I realized that Jesus, when he died for guilty sinners. I was a guilty sinner, so thus Jesus died for me. And so what does that mean? Well, I want to tell you what that means tonight. When the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, he was sent by God. He was sent by God on a mission, and his mission was to be fulfilled upon Mount Calvary. It's a place where they crucified criminals. At this day, there was a perfect one that was crucified there. His name was Jesus Christ. He came from a physical town called Nazareth, and they crucified the Christ of God. He was absolutely sinless, spotless. He was the Son of God, without spot or without blemish. So he was not dying for any sin that he had done. But when he died, there came darkness over the face of the earth. And when he died, God poured out on him all his wrath and all his indignation upon all sin. And you know, we sang at the beginning of our meeting that whosoever will may come. When the Lord Jesus died, he made provision for all. But that angel only addressed one person. One person in that prison house was delivered and set free. That was the willing one. That was the one who was needy. That was the one who was the guilty sinner. And that's the way it was with me that night when I got saved. I was a guilty sinner. But Jesus, when he died for me. Another thing I want you to notice, and then I'll be done. A joyous surety. When Peter was delivered, at first he thought, maybe this is just a dream. But when that big gate opened, and when he was outside that prison house, he realized, and he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent an angel and delivered me from Herod. You know, every time I wonder and I doubt, I go back to that verse. And it's like I get saved all over again. And I know this tonight. I know that when I die, I will be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. How do I know that? It's because God gave me His word. And I believe God. And you need to do that tonight. Simply believe God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May the Lord bless His name.